Welcome, Hero Worshippers, to episode 104 of the Nerdstravaganza podcast, where hero worship is not frowned upon, but worshiping us is preferable. I'm Tom.
I am Eric.
I'm Brian.
And Eric should have prefaced his introduction with a crestfallen Eric, because he has lost some heroes recently. But before we mourn with him, let us kick things off in our usual fashion with our weekly, geekly, geekly, weekly update. Brian, why don't you go first? What have you been up to this week, man?
Well, we were introduced to a new game at Adventure Game Store last Thursday night. I thought that was kind of fun. It was it's called Corkle. Either of you guys play that?
Saw you playing it, but I have not.
I haven't played it.
It's kind of like Scrabble, except instead of letters and words, you're playing with shapes and colors and forming patterns. Pretty interesting. That was fun. And apparently I'm good at it. I have no idea what a good score is, but I seem to have won. That always helps me like a game.
Yeah, that's always the best feature, is when you pick up a brand new game and you're like, oh, I happen to be awesome at this, and I can't really figure out why I'm better than other people, but I'll take it.
My quasi-autistic penchant for patterns really paid off. And after that, I was painting hair this weekend, just working on some miniatures, focusing on something that I don't usually do very well, so picking up some hair tips.
Taken in another context, that could have meant something else. That could have meant you have adopted rabbits, or that you are into hairstyling now, Brian, but we know what it really means. So there is a whole technique to painting hair.
Yeah, the highlights are a little bit more complicated than, you know, just a shirt, or what I prefer is just a single huge sheet of metal. That's easy to paint.
Well, cool. Glad you're furthering your fig painting skills. Anything else?
Corkle and rabbits.
Sounds like a pretty full week. What about you, Eric? What have you been up to?
First of all, living in South Florida, I've taken to Kickstarter and Indiegogo to search for a better lighting option for my bicycle. So kind of mixing some tech with the Kickstarter Indiegogo thing we keep coming back to. And there are some interesting options out there. People have really come up with some clever ways to light a bicycle. Everything from iridescence that are lit by black light, so as the wheel goes through, it basically makes the entire wheel glow, which looks kind of Tron-esque, to lights that will never, ever, ever require a battery, which I thought was kind of fascinating. And I'm not really sure the science behind those, but it was pretty neat. So I've been looking for an option, because anyone who lives in our area knows that you're basically putting your life on the line every time you even put foot to pedal.
Yes, I live in our region, and I concur, and would very much like some links to those fundraising projects, because I don't want to die while riding my bike.
Yeah, exactly. We'll post some links. I mean, it's a horrifying scenario down here for the most part, so that's been one of the scenarios I've been kind of looking into and hoping to find a better option.
Is there any lighting option that'll send those Yankees north? Because they're the real problem.
Yeah, we're awful people. Actually, yeah. You know, I take exception, because if you've really spent any time in New York, you have to be an exceptional driver anywhere in the Northeast, really.
And if you're not, you can always move to Florida to torment us.
Yes, and if you really want to torment anyone down here, just move a little farther south to Miami-Dade County. True. Which gets rated the worst drivers in America by AAA, like it's something like 12 years running now.
Oof.
Best in South America, for the record.
Oh!
There you go.
I know this isn't really a show about traffic, but I think the fact that Miami is such a like landing point for people from all over the US and all over the world means we just import like the worst drivers from really the entire world and put them all in a big pot and expect anything but mayhem to ensue. And I think we're a little deluded in doing that.
Yeah, it's kind of a magical, if there was a melting pot where you could just put all the worst elements to form the world's, we're going to design the worst driver on the planet, like robot in a laboratory, it would definitely just take characteristics from everyone you meet in Miami-Dade County.
Yes. Cool. So that's a pretty neat tech-oriented way to solve that problem, maybe. Anything else?
That was pretty much it. It's not been a really nerdy week for me.
Now it's time to bring things over to my lackluster week. Pretty much Cosmos, Game of Thrones, playing some games, went and saw, it's wrestling, it's kind of tangentially related. I went and saw Mick Foley, he did a little comedy show. People will know him as Cactus Jack and or Mankind, a venerable wrestler by any definition. More of a him telling funny stories than a comedy show. He doesn't sit up there and do like stand-up or anything, but that was pretty cool. So I saw that this past weekend. And apart from that, nothing super exciting. Just doing some gaming and so on.
The usual good stuff, which then leads us to kind of a depressing week for me.
Yeah, that brings us to the depressing topic. Eric, this episode's all about you, man. So just cry on our virtual shoulders. Let us know what we can do to support you in this time of loss. And I guess a good way to start that would be to tell our audience about your loss.
You know, I'm going to preface this by saying that it's a very, very rare occurrence that any celebrity deaths really faze me or bother me, because I have no real human connection to any of these people. I have a connection in the sense that we all do, that they're a part of our lives because we see them on film, or they have given us something that we've loved, be it art, music, etc. But most of the time, I can acknowledge that it may be sad, and then I just move on with my day. Like, for example, Philip Seymour Hoffman, everyone freaked out, lost their mind. I didn't really care. In fact, there was a part of me that was like, well, he did it to himself, so I have a hard time feeling bad. And I know that's kind of harsh to say, and there's a part of me that certainly sympathizes with his family, but that was as far as my brain went with it. I was like, there are more important things that should make headlines, you know? I'm very sad that this happened. Let's move on. But today's really sucked, and I don't know why, and I didn't think it would hit me as hard as it did. So we'll go ahead and fill in the audience. This morning, I woke up to the news that H.R. Giger, famed artist, designer, creator, passed away at the age of 74 when he fell down the stairs in his home. I didn't think it would hit me as hard as it did, and I know if, you know, our listeners have listened to other episodes, they know I'm an Alien fanatic. And it really bummed me out, and then it bummed me out even more when the press release explained how he died. Like, honestly, I haven't shaken it all day, and I don't know why. I mean, I know why, but I didn't know the man personally. And I think that brings us to the point of the topic, is what celebrity deaths, what heroes have you had in life or inspirations have you had in life that when they actually passed away, you felt like you lost someone you knew? Because this one feels that way.
A fair question. I am going to have to search my dark, uncaring soul to find one. Because just like the Seymour Hoffman, people went on and on. I couldn't have picked the guy out of a lineup. And I'm terrible with remembering celebrities, even celebrities that I would like if you told me about their work. For example, Eric, you mentioned today the guy that played Egon in Ghostbusters and him passing away. Yeah, I mean, if you ask me who Harold Ramis was, you know, just randomly without giving me some clues as to what he'd been in, I would have been like, okay. I think I mourn the passing of celebrities because I will miss any work they might do in the future. You know, I maybe mourn the lost opportunities that may come to pass, but I don't know that I feel much of a connection. And I'm a little jealous that you actually feel that and have felt a sense of loss. And I'm not really sure where Brian falls in this.
I can remember one that like really hit me. It's actually kind of, it's a weird JFK moment, because I can remember like exactly where I was and exactly what I was doing in the whole deal when I found out Douglas Adams was dead.
Yeah, that was a big bummer to me too. That one stung as well.
He was the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy guy, right?
Yes, the book you haven't read yet.
But I get that. All right, now that's maybe somebody whose passing I would mourn if I had read. But maybe I should just mourn and then bypass the reading. There we go. Done. Brian, was it just that his writings had such a profound effect?
It was a weird combination of his writing had such an effect as a reader and as a hopeful writer. He really taught me a lot of things about how, as weird as it sounds, like how not to write. You can see some things that work, and he does the opposite. One of my favorite quotes of his is that something hung in the air exactly the way a brick wouldn't. It just taught me you can think like backwards. You can write backwards to prove a point too. Almost scientific, like can you just prove the opposite?
Yeah, it's like doing a geometric proof where you have a particular angle. I don't know if you remember doing those in high school, but you basically worked it backwards to prove that that measurement was accurate by taking the steps in reverse.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes. I excelled at geometry, actually.
Yeah, so did I. I loved it. I actually got the name Weird Kid in geometry class because I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I wonder if Adams was good at geometry. I wonder if we are cut from somewhere along the same length of cloth as he was cut. That'd be kind of nice to know.
That would be hopeful. I mean, I feel like I'm putting myself on too high a pedestal by even suggesting it, though.
But maybe that's sort of the kernel of connection that we feel towards celebrities. You know, it's more than just their work. It's the fact that they connected with me in such a way that I think we might have had something in common if we'd sat down for a drink together or, you know, just for a chat. Maybe that's it. Maybe that guy was really famous. It sucks he's dead. no, this person, through their work, touched you in some way, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, with Giger, I wake up every day and I see his stuff all over my house because I have a collection of alien stuff and I've got books of his artwork and I see it constantly. I have Danzig albums, which he did the cover for. I have an Emerson, Lake and Palmer album that he did the cover for, which most people are not aware of. He did a poster insert for Dead Kennedys album. Even did a, I want to say it was a Cyndi Lauper cover where he took her face and his art is on top. So it looks like there are like spikes or needles going through her face. Point is, I mean, I see it all the time. And it's like that weird feeling of knowing, like, even though he hasn't done a world of stuff lately, although he has, and apparently, and this takes us back to stuff we talk about all the time, he was slated to be assisting in design and development for Prometheus 2.
Yeah,
so there was that. But here's the thing. I mean, okay, I didn't like Prometheus, obviously. I did a whole episode ranting about it. But that doesn't mean I don't love his work. His visuals and his creations are stunning. I mean, even if I had to see a horrible movie with his creations in it, I'm okay with that. I mean, that's why I saw Species in the theater.
Yeah, and Species was by no measure excellent, right?
No, it was mediocre at best.
Scary alien.
Exactly. Yeah. The design of the creature was fantastic.
Wow. Well, now I'm kind of joining you in mourning his passing now that I know that he might have helped make Prometheus 2 a success, because I kind of desperately want it to be. Because I think Prometheus 1 was just so close to being a decent movie. Prometheus 2 might redeem it.
Yeah, it definitely would have helped. So I was thinking about this, and I tried to think about what was the first time this happened in my life. Like, what was my first... Like, you know, we think about sometimes our first dealing with death as a child. And usually it's something real, and it's your hamster or your fish, or hopefully not, but in some people's cases, a loved one. But what was your first situation with feeling like you had a connection with a celebrity that you had no real world connection with? And without a doubt, mine was Jim Henson. And actually, that one still bothers me to this day, but I think it was more the circumstances of his death than it was like losing him as a whole. And I've thought about it, and it wasn't like, oh, we're not going to get any more Jim Henson creations, and we're not going to see like his studio flourish, because it did. It was that characters that he did the voices of felt dead.
Oh, because now you have these kind of stand-in actors trying
Like Kermit the Frog is kind of dead. That's what my brain went as a kid. Like, Kermit the Frog is dead. And then even when they kind of revived it and they had other actors do his voices, like, I knew it. Even as a kid, I knew it. And I was like, nope, that's not him.
Oh, ouch.
Like, this is an imposter, Kermit. And I've actually let that slide. Like, I like the two new Muppet movies. And, you know, obviously I've kind of gotten past that. But even as a kid, like, I remember that hurting. Like, these characters are dead. You're lying to me.
There you have a case where a very tangible thing, like the man's voice, was essential to his work living, I guess, right? And so even when the franchise was passed on, nobody could quite do it justice in your mind.
Yeah, like my dad made reference once because he loves Looney Tunes. Like, he grew up with Looney Tunes. He absolutely loves it. We've bought him like the DVD box sets. And Mel Blanc did all of the voices for every character. Every voice. If you ever watch any Looney Tunes cartoon at the beginning, like the older ones at the beginning, and it's like voices by and sound effects by Mel Blanc. That's it. One dude. So when he passed away, literally every Looney Tunes character immediately sounded different from then on. Like, they were all dead.
Oh, yeah, that's tough. And the voice is so essential to animated characters, right? Because that, in combination, obviously, with the way they are animated, gives them their personality. So something really drastic changes when you change that voice, even though they might look the same.
But the question is, I mean, are we comfortable? I think we are, as a society, kind of comfortable with the idea that cartoons evolve. So the design of a character will change with time to keep them kind of up to par and up to, I don't know, keep them culturally relevant. I think we get more upset when the voice changes than we do when the look changes.
Yeah, you know, even some of the Disney stuff sounds weird to me still. Like, Mickey Mouse hasn't sounded right to me in decades. You make a good point.
It actually takes me back to last week with Sailor Moon, why all the people were celebrating that the original Japanese voice actress was coming back. I kind of get that when I think about this now. Going to be drawn differently, but it still sounds the same.
Right, and that's important. I thought of a celebrity. You guys inspired me. Yes, okay, here it comes. I was so bummed out when Princess Di died. Because for like 5 years, I had to hear about how important she was. She was a princess, and Elton John appropriated one of his old songs to mourn her passing, and I was made to care about someone I never cared about before. Actually, no, I had nothing but contempt for that entire thing.
Yeah, and I agree with you. It actually blew me away that Americans gave a damn.
Right.
Yeah, nothing.
Let me be serious, though, for a second. Let me think of a celebrity who passed away. Okay, here's a childhood hero that made a comeback only to die, like, later that week. I'm talking, of course, about the Ultimate Warrior, an 80s legend in the wrestling ring. He came back for his Hall of Fame induction, was looking good, had a family. Everybody was like, oh, Warrior's back. You know, maybe we were expecting to do some cameos and stuff. And he passed away, unfortunately, like that very week of a heart attack or something along those lines. Some horrifying death right in front of his wife. That sucked. I didn't feel like I had suffered a great blow, but that was one of those like, oh, man, that sucks. That guy died like right after he came back. I was kind of glad to have him back. I think that's as close as I've gotten to really being bummed that a celebrity died.
I'm trying to think of any others, and the only other one I think that comes to mind that really was like, oh, this sucks so bad. And here's the thing. This one didn't bother me only because, let me rephrase it. It bothered me because I loved the man. It didn't bother me as much because he was old. And it was like, you can't expect a 90-something-year-old to live forever. And that was Burgess Meredith. I don't know if Tom can grasp that name because, you know, he said he's not good with celebrities. So, Tom, Burgess Meredith, any clue?
I'm trying to decide what man has two female names.
It is a man, yeah.
Burgess Meredith. All right, give me some clues.
Cobra.
We're starting obscure. I like that. We're going to work our way up to the obvious.
Okay, all right. He did the voice of Serpentor.
Close. He did the voice of Globulus.
Oh, boy. Wow, that's niche even in G.I. Joe. I mean, I understand the movie was a big deal, but really?
Yeah, I love that movie. But yeah, he did the voice of Globulus.
Okay.
So if you know that voice, you may be able to kind of figure out what he's really famous for.
He's also famous for the voice of... the computer in War Games. Would you like to play a nice game of chess?
No, he was not Joshua. I don't think anyone was Joshua. That was like a text-to-speech thing, right?
I don't know. It seemed too sophisticated for the 80s. But
yeah, maybe.
Back to Bird Borges, whatever his name is. give me another clue. Give me another. Not too much. This is fun, but give me another clue.
He found a sword and a shield in a courtyard?
Oh, okay. He played, because he found a sword and a shield in a courtyard, he played the voice of the little Dot in the Atari video game Adventure.
Yes. Get this freaking duck away from me.
Yes. Get this duck dragon away from me before I run it through with this arrow, which might be a sword. I'm not really sure which way I'm supposed to hold it.
Look, we're the first game with Easter eggs.
All right, I give up. Who is Burgess Meredith? What's Burgess Meredith?
Burgess Meredith.
All right, who is he?
He was in Clash of the Titans. That was the reference there. The original Clash of the Titans, not the sorry remake. He was the guy who helped Perseus, and now his name is eluding me as a character.
Prometheus?
Sure, why not? We'll go with that. but then I wouldn't like it as much. But more importantly, he was Mickey from the Rocky movies.
Oh, that guy. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you should have just told me that. Yeah, wow, he looked old when he was like 40 in Rocky 1. So.
Right, yeah, he did. So that's my point. Like, I didn't feel that bad because he was old, it was his time, but for some reason, as a kid, I had an affection for him. I think between Rocky, Clash of the Titans, and the G.I. Joe movie, I was just like, oh, that really sucks.
That kind of sucks. Although, you know what sucks more is that you said he was old and it was his time. I'm sure as he was laying there dying, that came as cold comfort. I don't want to live another 10 years in relative comfort. Nah, it's my time.
Well, you know, if he had that weight loss drug we talked about a while ago, he might have lived longer.
Oh, was he a fatty? He never looked
no,
fat.
No, he wasn't fat at all, but since they said it will add 12 years to the average lifespan, I'm just doing the math.
I think that only works if you are a fatty, though. I don't think like just a regular guy can take it and gets 12 years.
Nah, screw it. 12 years.
Everybody gets 12 years. You get 12 years. You get 12 years. It's like Oprah.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds good. I think a person who stays skinny their whole life who has that discipline, and I am not among these people, they should get like 24 years.
The irony is it's the fat people that are getting the 24 years, because if that's the average is 12, that means the skinny people are getting no years, and the really fat people are getting 24 years to average out to 12.
Oh, wow. Okay. That makes sense. So wait, what if you're like one of these bedridden, like really, 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 really large people that can't get out of bed, and then they do like a story about how they help them lose weight and stuff? They must gain like 36 to 48 years.
TV story big, or like had to knock down their wall and get like a bulldozer big to get you out of your house?
Let's go with that guy. I think he gets some multiple of 12. I'm thinking that guy gets like 48 years.
Yeah, he's going to get an absurd amount of years.
Brian, I know we're off kind of on a tangent, but we are sort of talking about celebrities when we talk about these people who get famous for having to be craned out of their homes. You think they gain a greater multiple of 12 years of life when this weight loss drug we talked about three or four episodes ago comes out?
It's likely, and perhaps he'll even live past 50.
No, no, sir, you're 52. We bumped your life expectancy up to 48, which is a multiple of 12, and you got like four extra years. Good job.
Yeah, outstanding work. Now the question is, do you get encouraged to be like a fat kid? Because, I mean, I was a fat kid. Do you get encouragement now instead of picked on to be a fat kid so you can later take the drug, take off the weight, and be like, boom, 12 years?
I don't think that's a hard sell. Bringing myself back to my fat kid days. Look, Tom, this is, you're being tormented and made to feel like the guy from Elephant Man, but it's all going to pay off like eons down the road that are unfathomable to you when you're alive and these people are all dead. I don't think kids are going to go for that.
No, probably not.
Brian, I mean, I don't know. Were you a svelte youngster? Did you veer towards the chubby?
I actually was like a tiny, bony 90-pound weakling for most of my life. It wasn't until, believe it or not, sports made me huge because my mom was so proud of me, like, being athletic that she would take me to Dairy Queen after every single game.
Such a good player. Here, have a Blizzard.
Oh, sweet irony.
Well, I don't understand it. Most kids get more lean when they play sports, but Brian's bulking up. That's funny. Are you serious?
I'm totally serious.
I know it probably doesn't even matter, but what sport was it?
It was mostly baseball and bowling.
Oh, let's be honest.
All right, I'm going to point out, yeah, those were two fat guy sports.
Yeah, that's going to put the weight right on you, both of those. Wow. We got a little off topic.
We did. We went from death back to fat, and like, yeah, I don't even know how we got there. How did we get there?
Well, we did. We are still kind of on the topic of death. I know how we can tie all this together. Let's talk about really fat celebrities that died. I'll go first with the obvious. John Candy. That was a funny man. He was fat, and I'm assuming you can just blame his fatness for his death, because everybody knows it's impossible for anybody who's fat to be anything but dying. At least that's the way our kind of fat-shaming culture couches things.
Not like Jim Henson or Douglas Adams or anything, but yeah, I do remember like really missing John Candy.
I mean, the guy's last name was Candy. He was destined to be obese.
Is that the same situation like when you name your daughter like Cinnamon and wonder why she grew up to be a stripper?
Well, you could name her Cinnamon Bun, and then stripping is definitely not in her future. There's a lot to be said about the power of a name. But okay, I got John Candy. I mean, there's the obvious like John Candy 2.0, which was Chris Farley.
Right.
Farley doesn't, it's not really candy, but it sounds like it could be the brand name of a candy. I picture like one of those candies your grandma had in her candy dish. Like, have a Farley, they're very tasty. Like, oh.
Yeah, it's like an old-timey saltwater taffy company.
Right, right. When I was a young girl, we'd get 17 of these for a nickel. Well, yeah, but it wasn't worth it then, Grandma, and it's not worth it now. Don't you have a Snickers? Have a Farley and shut up.
Now, I want to point one out that died although I should be upset, maybe in retrospect, as my life has progressed and I've had life experiences, I don't. Now it's like, oh, maybe that was for the best. Mama Cass of the Mamas and the Papas. Now, she sung Dream a Little Dream, which was my wedding song.
Ah.
And she's not around to sing me any more wedding songs, which means I can't get married again, which is great.
Well, okay. All right. Now, that's one way to look at it. The other way is, you know, maybe that song set a bad tone for your marriage, and that a new song might augur better for a marriage for you. So
yeah, I should pick a healthier singer, is what you're telling me. Healthier singer, healthier marriage. Yeah.
You could do quite well with Monday Monday.
That would work. So I'd be afraid to pick a Beatles song out of fear that someone would intentionally just murder us and ruin our marriage.
Get like a rap song by like some muscular like rap, yo, what's up guy, and then like you've got this aggressive fit start to your marriage.
Yeah, 99 problems.
Right, but not my marriage.
She'll never be your problem.
Right, marriage will not be one of them.
Great. That implies calling your woman a bitch right out of the gate, but once that's out of the way, you got 99 problems, but she's not one. I love it.
Let's be honest, if you can get away with calling your woman a bitch, she's not a problem.
If she's down for like hardcore rap at the wedding, she's probably already not a problem, and she probably used to being called a bitch. Is this misogynistic? I'm not really sure.
I don't know either.
Brian, you're a resident feminist. Is this misogynistic?
I think using that word.
I'm going to point out this is mention and not use. We are mentioning the lyrics to the song, discussing how they might influence situations, but we are not using the word ourselves.
There you go, Hall & Oates.
I've got 99 problems, but an unempowered victim of a wife is not one. How's that?
That works.
I think so. I think we just got a lifetime achievement award from, I don't know, some feminist organization. Oh, lifetime achievement award. That just totally brought this up for me. Whose passing I will definitely mourn is that of an NAACP lifetime achievement award winner, the basketball team owner who recently like chewed out his, whatever that was, girlfriend.
Mistress, yeah.
Mistress, right. For like, what was she taking pictures with black people or something?
Yeah, well, no, she brought a black friend, who I think happened to be Magic Johnson, to the game. And he was upset that, one, black people were going to the games, and two, that his girlfriend would bring a famous basketball-playing black person to a game. I don't know where his brain was, like, on that one. Like, I don't get it at all. Like, it's one thing to be racist, and I'm not by any means saying I understand racism, because I don't. What I am saying is, it's one thing to be racist, it's another thing to not understand how the world works to the point where you're just... I have to assume with that amount of money, you just become insane. I see celebrities go insane, and they've got like 20 million, and this guy's got like billions. So you're a whole new level of crazy, I assume.
Yeah, I think you're not wrong about that.
And I guess it should bring us to our next point, which is we're talking about the people that are famous that have died, that have either upset us, affected us, or we found the situation kind of odd or humorous in a way. Which are the ones that kind of deserved it that haven't, and we're like, how the heck have they hung out this long?
People that refuse to die?
Yeah, like when you look at that guy at that basketball game, he looks like a corpse. A fat corpse, but a corpse. Like,
yeah.
You know, like every zombie movie has the one fat zombie?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the fat zombie.
Yeah, he's, I mean, and the sad thing is he's going to get 12 extra years when that pill comes out. So, you know, we've got him around for another 12 years.
Well, he's got to make it to 2018, I think it was. So,
let's see. Other people who've stuck around too long.
Not that it's too long, but I am very surprised about it. Dick Clark's still alive.
Wow, really?
Yeah, he's had a rough patch recently, but he's still going, isn't he?
Jeez, that is
impressive. I almost want to Google that because I'm like, it's so hard to believe.
Okay, let me qualify this by saying I'm not wishing death or illness or anything on anyone, but there are some people I would like to see maybe removed from the public eye, and if that means they pass, well, you know, that's the way things eventually must go for all of us. I think we've heard enough from certain celebrities like Madonna. She's kind of done her thing, right? I mean, are we done with her at this point?
But if she was going to die, it would have been when she was like 30. That's the irony there. At 30, she was doing all the things that would have killed her. Now she's like living a wonderful, healthy lifestyle, and she's going to be fine for a long time. Like, that's the irony.
Once you get past 27.
Yeah, you're pretty much safe after 27, I think. Maybe 27 is that age where you kind of come to your senses and you're like, I should lead a better life. Like, I should kind of get in shape and go to the gym and eat healthy and not make fun of other gangster rappers that might shoot me.
Yeah, Madonna, she's definitely not picking any more East Coast, West Coast feuds with gangster rappers like she used to. But yeah, you're right. She's going to live forever. She is in actually, like, amazing shape. She has, like, zero. I think she has negative body fat at this point. And yeah. Then when she takes that pill, actually, it might take life away from her. So, yeah, I shouldn't say that. And by the way, I'm kind of being a prick here. Everybody knows if Madonna had died young, we would all revere her, because that's the best thing you can do as a celebrity. It's like die before you have the indecency to grow older.
That is true. So it makes you wonder, though, because there are some that are the exception to that. Like Keith Richards is still doing everything that should kill him. And at this point, I'm pretty sure he's only alive because he's embalmed.
You remember that old Dungeons & Dragons, that rule that you can't use fire on dragons? Because how can fire affect the creature of fire? He's completely replaced with drugs. How can drugs affect him?
That's a good point. You're just adding, like, water to a lake at that point.
You think he just absorbs its energy and makes it his own?
Yeah, he transforms it. He has, like, chemistry lab in his liver now, so whatever the prevailing drug is in his system at that time, any other drug gets converted into that.
Yeah, the man has looked dead for the last 35 years, at least.
I can't argue. I don't want to agree, but I mean...
Like, what are those creatures in Harry Potter that come crawling out of the lake when they're finding that first Horcrux? Dead human bodies that are reanimated that come crawling out of the lake and pull Harry Potter in, and I can't remember the name of them for the life of me right now.
Like, like liches or something, are they? Or...
Yeah, I have no idea.
Keith Richards does fit the description of lich at this point.
He does.
Probably goes without saying, but he is getting more ass than all of us put together.
Oh, still. No question.
And better quality than probably all of us put together in our lifetimes, you know?
You know, and I was going to say, do you think he could still perform? And I was like, wait, there are drugs for that. He could just absorb their energy, and he's no problem.
Actually, he's got his internal organs. He can tap them for drugs of his choice now, so he doesn't need to take an external drug. He could just, like, push on his pancreas, and some Viagra gets popped out into his bloodstream.
Yeah, his body is just synthesizing every imaginable chemical.
He's a walking chemistry lab. Good for him.
Does that make him kind of like Wolverine in a sense? Like, is that just what has happened now?
Sort of, yeah. Does Mick Jagger look better or worse?
Oh, he's consistently looked worse as well. I mean, I'm pretty sure his mouth is getting bigger, too.
You know how most people, your ears and your, what is it, your ears and your nose never stop growing?
Right.
For some people, your mouth also doesn't stop growing.
Maybe that's true for Madonna also.
Does she have a big, well, she has a...
There you go. All right, good
one. All right. That's a good one. I don't know. I mean, we were kind of forewarned about this, though, with the Rolling Stones, like, little mouth logo with, like, look, this is what the future is holding. Brace yourself.
Yes, celebrity deaths are coming.
Will you mourn the passing of them?
Well, that brings me to the next question, Tom. Who could die right now that you genuinely would be upset by? Like, were you upset when Gygax passed away?
Okay, that's a good one. I will not claim that I ever went and, like, had my butt signed by Gary Gygax at a con or anything like that. But that is somebody who, when he passed away, I was like, wow, this person is responsible for something that really influenced my life. So, yeah, I was like, ah, bummer. I think I might have, that might have even gotten a Facebook post out of me, like, Gary Gygax died, and now he's dead. You know, something like that.
Which is a lot coming from you, let's be honest. I mean, that's...
It is.
That's as emotional as you're going to get.
Because I can't form the attachment, you know, and it's hard for me. But yeah, I'll admit, I was like, oh, that sucks, man. But now, you know, I don't play D&D anymore, so it doesn't matter as much.
So again, back to my question, though. Who could die that's alive right now that would potentially bum you out?
Bill Paxton could die. I have had an enduring like of him as an actor for some reason. So if he died, I would be bummed.
Well, yeah, anyone with an Alien reference is going to get it from me, so yeah.
Yeah, I guess if I found out he died, I'd be like, oh, man, bummer, that sucks. But yeah, I don't know, somebody who would really affect me.
Wait, would it be worth Bill Paxton's death if they put Game Over on his tombstone?
I would think that was awesome. I don't know if Bill Paxton or his family would be too into that idea. I don't know. You guys know me. Maybe you can you think of anybody that might affect me if they died? Like somebody I talk about consistently or a celebrity whose work I really admire?
All I can think of is hot girls.
Wait a minute. What does that say about me?
I don't know.
Probably a lot, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know, because even they're replaceable. Like, the celebrity industry churns out no shortage of attractive people. Okay, no. I was going to say George Martin before you finish writing the books, but then somebody will take over and actually finish the book, so that's kind of a lose-win. Brian, you've known me for a long time. Who would bum me out if they passed away?
Can't think of a soul, man.
Jeez, I'm kind of a jerk.
Maybe Weiss or Hickman.
Oh, there you go. Weiss or Hickman, they're responsible for the Dragonlance books, Eric. Yeah, that would be like, oh, man, that sucks. They were a big part of my childhood. I'd be sad, but yeah, I have to admit, I still wouldn't be like super bummed. You know, I just think maybe if every celebrity died tomorrow, I wouldn't care. I have to be honest with you, because new celebrities would just spring up in their place, wouldn't they?
Like, I'm really curious to see how people would react after everything that's been done, both positive and negative, to George Lucas passing away.
I think the reaction might have been a little stronger if he was mid-prequels when it happened.
Probably. I also think it would have been a different reaction had he not given up his or sold his rights to Disney. Because if the name still belonged to him, like if the rights and everything still belonged to him and he was still planning on directing 3 more movies, I think people would kind of want him to go a little bit.
Oh, that's so mean, but true.
I know it's horrible, and I don't really mean it, but it's just like that's a thought that popped into my head, and I had to say it. But now that Disney's kind of in control, I mean, does anyone, like, I don't think anyone would be that, you know, would feel that way, obviously. I think everyone would be genuinely upset because, you know, he can't torture us anymore, and he's given us good stuff, so leave it be, you know?
Yeah, as pissed as we all are as fans of what George Lucas has done, I mean, we wouldn't have Star Wars without him, and... So if he were to die now that he no longer controls Star Wars, he should have held on to Star Wars. That might have affected me more. I wish I could care more.
You know, it's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this topic, because I had this really strong feeling like Tom would just be totally numb to it completely and struggle through the entire episode.
I really am. I just can't care. I really, I'm a monster for not caring about these rich, famous people who don't know that I exist. I know that now. I realize that about myself. And I hope if they're listening to this podcast, they won't stop listening. Oh, wait, they're not. They're not doing anything for me.
Therefore, no one we mentioned will hear this ever.
Right. Therefore, my caring for them has increased 100-fold.
Yeah,
from
not only
zero
would,
to zero.
If it makes you feel better, though, not only would they not care if we died tomorrow, they wouldn't know if we died tomorrow.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they don't know that I'm alive right now.
Right.
So why should I return any kind of caring to them?
Right. They should rejoice in the fact that at least we'll know they died. We'll have heard about it.
Right. The world will know. I mean, that's fame. When you die, you won't just be like another statistic in the number of people that died this year. Your name will be known by a lot of people. That's something. That's important. So,
yeah, that's huge.
There you go. Yeah.
That's massive when you really think about it.
It is.
Yeah. What percentage of people who have ever lived do people know about that have died? Like that we all know their name. What percentage? It's got to be a fraction of a fraction of 1%.
And really, the only people who are remembered are the real movers and shakers, like in world history. Like, sadly, the celebrities themselves, as huge as their egos are, must like lie awake night, like, realizing that like three generations hence, nobody will even know them. Because do you know any like celebrities from like 1890?
Well, I mean, you have a few, and they were celebrities in their time. You know, you can say like Beethoven, for example.
Okay.
You remember Beethoven, but I'm sure Beethoven had a lot of other musicians that were considered maybe not equals, but peers. And we don't know most of them.
It was a much less crowded field then. And if you could do anything back then, I think you could make more of a splash. I mean, name five famous vaudeville acts.
Yeah, I'm done already.
Right. Okay. So there's my point. And as media increases in its volume, I think celebrities' consequences going to shrink accordingly. Brian, do you agree? You've been kind of quiet. I know you've been pondering all this as we've been speaking.
Yeah, I guess you got to get lucky. I mean, I could name a few more obscure people, but that's just because they were celebrities to me. You know, famous in my interest.
In our little niche-y world, for sure. Geez, I mean, that really puts things in perspective. You know, the anime voice actor who shows up at a con and gets like hundreds of adoring fans will be remembered by more people when that voice actor dies than we will. So I guess that counts, right? But compared to like Leonard Nimoy, might as well have never existed. Although you could probably find them in IMDb, which is a form of immortality, I suppose. Somebody can Google them someday and they will come up.
I have friends who are in IMDb because they did a bit part or because they were like fourth programmer for some effects company. If it makes you immortal, I'm going to call my friends and congratulate them a little bit more than I already have.
Yeah, I mean, they're somewhere in the credits after you left the theater, their name swung by, you know. Has your name ever done that?
Well, here, let me give you this one. My brother, Jordan, who's been on for Godzilla episodes, donated money on Kickstarter for this film that was basically about the men who act in the rubber suits. And I think it was called, like, Beyond the Suit or Behind the Suit or something like that. So basically, kaiju actors. And he put money up to get this documentary made. And he put enough in where his name shows up in the credits. He's on IMDb.
That's cool. That's really cool. Is he like a producer? What is he credited as?
I don't know. Like co-producer, I guess. Yeah.
That's actually pretty cool.
That leads me to, if you have the opportunity to donate money to make a Kickstarter film, do it just for that reason.
Do it just so somebody might remember you someday.
Yeah. IMDb status.
Hey, man, that's something. That's status. You think when we die that fans of the Nerdtravaganza podcast will mourn our passing?
No freaking way.
Since we know all the fans of the Nerdtravaganza podcast personally.
Well, maybe then, yeah.
The chances are greater, but not because of our influence, more because of like nepotism, I think. What about you, Brian? You think we'll have like throngs of like just crying fans when we pass away?
I don't know about you fuckers, but I will.
That's good. That's the right attitude.
Yeah.
That's the attitude we need.
That's positive, yeah.
That's very positive. All right, well, any other famous last words you guys want to utter on this topic before we put this one down for, what, posterity, I guess?
I think we've done this episode to death.
We sure have. We've really just buried this topic. Let it rest in peace. Okay, no more. All right. All right, I think that concludes this episode then. I guess what we should offer, besides fond memories to our listeners, is an opportunity to relive this podcast over and over again by subscribing to our podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatching software they happen to use, or by checking us out in streaming form on the excellent streaming service called Stitcher.
And they can become immortal and join the ranks of people who have liked or plus one'd us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Google Plus. And long after you are gone, your page will exist on Facebook and be listed in the Facebook group.
You can read our eulogies at nerdstravaganza.com or drop us a farewell line at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
We promise any emails we receive will not go into the dead letterbox.
Ba-dum-bum!
And with that said, listeners, rest in peace.